Good evening. Welcome to the Soleri Report. This is Ask Catherine. I'm recording December 9th. That's Wednesday. We'll publish it as soon as it's ready and up. Well, there's quite a lot of discussion in subscriber input as well as questions to ask Catherine. I've pulled over some from subscriber input that's all in the notes, but there's a lot more in subscriber input, so you might want to scan through it. Okay. Let's just dive in. Cash and precious metals. Catherine, what is the dollar syndicate going to do about the weak U.S. dollar? I thought they needed to keep it strong. And then you quote Farber, who's talking about the advantage of going into emerging market stocks. And I would note part of that is Yellen, of course, has a reputation as being an interventionist. And if she becomes Secretary of the Treasury, as Biden has suggested he will appoint if he is confirmed or is inaugurated on January 20th, then you know, that's going to be argue for a soft dollar. So we've all thought that many times before emerging markets were going to do great because the dollar should soften. If you look at the extent to which they're printing, I would expect the dollar to be soft and inflation to be upon us. And I think a lot of what we're seeing in COVID is to try and cover up and stop the inflation from translating into runaway prices. But I think if it comes down to, as I said, money in markets last week, protecting the dollar, protecting the stock market, they'll protect the dollar. If you look at the level of printing that's happening now and it's going to continue to happen, there's no way you don't have a weaker dollar is the tendency. Now, there's lots that could happen with technology and military that could shift that, which is why I don't think you want to bet the ranch on any scenario. Catherine, I thought you might, oh, and I should say we'll do a lot more on that in the equity overview, which we'll do in January. Catherine, I thought you might be interested to know here in Ontario, a small municipality is now accepting land taxes in Bitcoin. That's a definite signal. Then I added a back and forth I had with someone last week who was responding to my comments about Barr in money and markets, and they felt I was being too respectful of Barr. Anyway, I won't repeat the whole thing. And another subscriber jumped in, so we put in their comments as well. Essentially, Barr, as Attorney General, I believe, became Attorney General as a result of a deal that Trump made with the Bushes at the time of George H.W. Bush's death or his funeral. And I think Barr's indication last week that there was no, quote, widespread fraud that, quote, had an impact on the economy, on the election, reflected his role as a messenger for basically a certain section of the establishment. My signal read was that Barr was indicating that the establishment was not going to support Trump's efforts to bring attention to the election fraud, which I believe was very significant. What Barr said was technically true. The fraud appears not to be widespread, but very concentrated in six counties that could swing the six states. And there's no doubt that the mail-in ballots were designed from the beginning to be fraudulent. Anyway, so Barr has a long history working for the CIA and the Bush faction, and he's basically a good soldier of that group. So I did not mean to signal lots of respect for Barr. I meant to signal his role. You know, Barr, good or bad, is a whole nother conversation, but I meant to signal that by Barr pulling the rug out from under the president was a clear signal from that part of the establishment that they weren't going to be supporting. Now, if you look at the legal teams the president was fielding both before and after, you know, it's what I have described as landing on Normandy Beach with a pistol. So it's not the kind of legal effort you would expect if the establishment was supporting. Anyway, so that back and forth is in the notes. Catherine, are you familiar with Joel Skouskin? He sees Giuliani as deep state. Let me go into that. Yes, I'm familiar with his work, and I like his work sort of describing different places and their pros and cons. I think he does a lot of good, useful research. I don't always agree with him. I don't always agree with everybody, but I think he's got a lot of serious stuff. He apparently was critical of Giuliani and Sidney Powell. And if you look at the criticisms of Sidney Powell and Giuliani, those are the criticisms that happen when people are landing on Normandy Beach with a water pistol. They're understaffed. They don't have the infrastructure behind them. You know, the briefs end up having spellings or typos. I just think that means they're overworked. If you look at the institutional effort you would put together to be able to handle this well before or after, that's not what has been put in place. Now, I think Pal is a serious attorney and litigator, but I also think what she's trying to do takes, you know, she's trying to reach way beyond her infrastructure and resources, and is trying to do that, you know, by trying to do the right thing. So I'm certainly not going to criticize her. I think the election fraud was unbelievably significant. Now, proving that in court is a whole another kettle of fish, but I think it's very significant. I think she's doing her best to do that. So a tip of the hat to her. Catherine, curious to get your take on this executive order Trump signed this week. So Trump signed a executive order on AI, and what's interesting is Putin did sort of an equivalent support of AI in Russia, so it was kind of happening in a coordinated way. And I think it's global. There's no doubt part of putting into place all of these different clouds at DOD and the intelligence agencies and then integrating AI is to take us to a radically re-engineered bureaucracy at the federal level. And you combine that with the federal credit mechanism and you've got a much more streamlined control system. So the infrastructure of the pro-centralization team keeps bit by bit being put into place. Question, Catherine, in case you haven't heard, and then somebody sent a link about French protesters set fire to the central bank. That looked very heartwarming until I had one of my best sources in France say it looked like a very sort of orchestrated thing. So I'm not sure that those were sincere riots. Question, in order to withdraw a bit of cash from the credit union today, found out they need a form filled out first. What the money is to be used for is one question on the form. The form wasn't the idea of the credit union, according to the teller, but for government compliance. So I wanted to bring this up because I think it's very important. The government is now, you know, requiring lots of these forms for money managers, banks, other financial institutions. The financial institutions doesn't care what you answer. They're just required to fill in the blank. What I said to this person, this subscriber, was, you know, just write personal expenses. Write something very, very general, which is accurate, but gives away no information. So you don't want to be inaccurate or dishonest, but you also don't want to provide anybody with information. Now, for example, if you want the cash for a real estate closing, and that real estate closing is going to generate a form into the system anyway, no lost, you know, nothing's lost by writing real estate purchase. But whatever you do, unless being reported elsewhere, fill in the blank with something that's absolutely uninformative, like expenses. Question, listening to Klaus Schwab really made me ask the question, did National Socialist lose World War II, or is it just the Germans? Because they sure seem to be alive and well in today's world. It's so funny, I put an addendum to my review of Schwab's book, because Schwab literally the next week just started speaking publicly in a way that you thought was designed to make a complete mockery out of the Great Reset. I think Hopkins would say, you know, it's all part of the cult, you know, being sufficiently ridiculous so that when you swear obedience, the incoherence will be more appropriate for obedience in the cult. Anyway, it's over the top, and Farrell wrote a great article about Schwab. It's very, very funny. You know, Schwab, there's no doubt that Schwab is sort of a nightmare on the global stage, except it's hard to take him seriously. I posted this week a video of the Premier of Alberta ripping Schwab to pieces, which has been my favorite sort of commentary on Schwab yet. Okay, next question. Dear Catherine, an update on the common law movement, and then somebody described an effort that's going on in British Columbia. And I have never dived deeply into what can be done with the common law. I've looked at it in and out, but unless you combine it with switching the money, it won't work. I'm very focused on trying to switch the money. And then if you can get an interest in switching the money, then you can integrate, you know, sort of what can be done with the law and the common law. Next question. Somebody sent in a copy of the fiddling of electoral votes in Idaho. I hadn't known about that. You're right, but it looks like they were playing games in Idaho too. Next question, Green New Deal land grab. When you mentioned in your last visit with John Titus that the whole new Green Deal is about stealing land and real estate, I realized that my personal situation is going to require that I get crystal clear on understanding the detailed mechanics of exactly how the Green New Deal makes this land grab. What I recommend you do is, I think I sent you a copy of this, if I watched Naomi Wolf's presentation on the initial new Green Deal. Now, the difficulty of doing this is that there continues to be progressively new and different new Green Deals. So I would start with Naomi Wolf to understand the basic 411 issue, and then I would check what else Patrick Wood might have up on technocracy because he tracks it. But what you're going to have to do is track whatever gets passed federally, but then see how it translates down into your state and local area. You definitely want to take a look at the translation of the Agenda 21, now Agenda 30, that's translating into the local areas, because that's going to be the sort of first wave of technocracy. But I would start with Naomi Wolf, and then you're going to have to bring it down to the state and local level. But I would not just look at New Green Deal. I would look at Agenda 30. Catherine, the pen might not be mightier than the sword, but it's far more effective, which is to say words count. Then you've got a lot of examples which are good. If it proves to be true that there was voter fraud on the scale suggested, I think that's pretty safe to bet that it was. I propose that we breathe new life into the word treason and use it to resuscitate our liberties. You know, I'm not sure the specifics of what that means, but I don't think, you know, I put it on my list to take out the word treason and look at the legal definitions. I would suggest that treason's been going on scale for a long, long time. If 21 train is missing, boy, treason's been going on. You said, I see that the sheriffs are beginning to stand up, proof of the existence of God if you need it. Let's the rest of us stand up with one word on our tongues in the form of a question, treason. Watch how fast a ship can turn when the passengers discover that the captain has been steering treason. Good to know. I think FASB 56 was treason. COVID-19. Okay, question. Just thought I would share some news from the Northwest. This past 2 weeks, A group of volunteers have been assisting Informed Consent Washington to place banners in the highway overpasses all across the Puget Sound area. The banners read, COVID-19 manufacturers are exempt from liability, and healthyimmunitynow.org. It was wonderful to meet other folks who are willing to put in the time and energy. This is coordinated with an ongoing project from Del Bigtree. I put up some of his video coverage from the high wire of some of these banners. A rally at the state capitol sponsored by Representative Kraft brought together a coalition of Americans that numbered in the 150 to 300 range. The representative was adamant that people needed to become more active and engage their representatives on a steady basis. A quiet resolve, joyous spirit, and a smoldering anger were present, many attending. I now know which groups of people I want to stand with. After talking with her on the steps of the capitol, she was unaware about the data from Dr. Brian from Johns Hopkins. Yeah. No, John Hopkins put up a study saying, oh, guess what? No excess deaths over 2020. How about that? Then, of course, they took it right down. I informed her that both the CDC data and Washington Department of Health statistics showed no excess deaths for 2019-2020 season, ditto for California. The gritted and forced smile on her face told me all I needed to hear. Not surprisingly, Antifa Black Bloc, were there to provide a counterpoint to the adult and responsible discourse. Lines of park cars from the rally attendees had many of their windows broken. Police and state troopers were present, but it was the attendees, mostly sporting Trump, MAGA, Patriot banners, and wearing pistols, rifles, that quietly moved the children, all white, 20-something, to the other side of the street. No injuries were seen or reported, but I was pleasantly surprised by the restraint showed by the rally attendees. It's been remarkable, the restraint showed, and I think that's because a lot of the people who are coming out on those issues are very much the independent producers, and they understand the importance of optimizing energy. They're highly productive people and trained to be productive. Then Franklin Sanders circulated a recommendation from a doctor about why you should never take the COVID-19 vaccine. It's long. I'm not going to read it, so I'm just going to put it in the notes, but it's a very excellent description of why you shouldn't do it based on the known facts. Now, if you look at a lot of the speculation and intelligent and informed speculation, what is potentially in this thing is so much more frightening, but he doesn't go there. And that includes one of the Pfizer former research scientists filing a petition saying, you know, there are dangers here for female sterility. In fact, Paul Craig Roberts came out and said he thinks it's designed to make women sterile. Other people concerned about the nanoparticles. Pfizer is very clear that their ingredients are secret. So, you know, they're free from liability and their ingredients are secrecy, are secret. What could possibly go wrong? Then a wonderful subscriber from California let us know that Brandy Vaughn, who was a very powerful activist opposed to vaccinations, she was somebody who'd been harmed by vaccination as a child and was a very effective. She started a group called LearnTheRisk.org and is famous for raising money and doing very famous billboards about vaccines and really about vaccine injury. And the fact that she was found dead next to, by her 10-year-old child. There's a crowdfund that I have posted, we're contributing, and I've posted it at Soleri. And so, and this is money to help make sure that her son has resources. It's a pretty frightening situation. She was a single mom, and there, according to the report, she was extremely healthy. So the question is you know, was there foul play involved? And if you look at the fact pattern, it's probably a pretty good chance that this was foul play. Then somebody posted a comment that I wanted to read. Still thinking masks are more about hiding appearance and not necessarily because of criminal activity. Noticed on the CCTV vote counting in Georgia that people couldn't be identified because of the masks, only by clothing color. Please. More importantly, what else do masks hide? Just keep thinking and back, and I'm seeing what looks like patterns and continuities. You know, coming into the election fraud, that could be a very logical explanation for the promotion of masks. Not the only reason, but I think a very good one. Then there's a comment from somebody in Los Angeles describing verbally attacked in a bullying way over masks. And it's a good description of why it's absolutely essential, if you can, to move as far away from people who are mind controlled. And my concern about the COVID-19 vaccinations, if the nanoparticle part of it is true, now, and they can get nanoparticles to you in many ways, it's not just with these injections, could make the mind control even more effective, which is pretty frightening. But it's another reason, I think, to, you know, if there is an opportunity for you to comfortably live in the rural areas, being in the urban areas where you're getting a very high percentage of people in the cult is going to be very difficult to navigate. The next question is titled, Mainstream News in 2020 is like the Soleri Report in 2014. And then they note an article from CNN on weather modification. And, you know, China's doing weather modification. How about that? And transhumanism, China creating biologically enhanced super soldiers. I absolutely believe we've been doing that for quite some time. And then Richard Werner gets cut off by somebody interviewing him about central bank. Funny. Catherine, I hope you have a chance next year to do some research into the human genetic engineering aspect of COVID and gene editing the next human. I have a feeling once 5G and the digital currency are out, the next steps will be to create a caste system based on genetics. Ones who have IQs and lifespans above the mean and those limited by their genes. God bless and thank you for everything. It's absolutely on my list to do, but I have to tell you, it's funny, when I try and understand the gene editing and really dive deep into this topic, I can hear people complaining to me about when I say, oh, anybody can learn to understand finance. I'm beginning to understand why some people get mad at me. So I just have to find a couple of experts I can really trust on this, because I'd love to do more here. So thank you for that tickle. Dear Catherine, your information, intelligence, strength, and bravery are extremely comforting and inspiring. Also, your recommendation introduced me to the film Unstoppable. I watch it whenever my cowardly lion needs to find some courage. I'm much obliged. I'm so glad you said that. I love that movie. I can't tell you. If I told you how many times I've watched that movie, you know, I would embarrass myself, because I'll start watching a movie that's been recommended. After 15 minutes, I know it's dreadful. I stop and I think, look, I just want to watch, you know, something really entertaining that I love. And so I watch Unstoppable again. It's very rare that Ridley and Tony Scott ever made a bad movie. They're kind of like the Vivaldi of movie directors. Catherine, it's a joy to get to know you through listening to your wise and knowledgeable commentary and your stories. I'm reminded of two sayings that I hold very dear, very near and dear. The unexamined life is not worth living. Boy, is that true. The profound wisdom of the oracle at Delphi, know thyself. You are so accomplished and extraordinary leader. A truly outstanding example of somebody having the wisdom stated above into conscious practice. We are so lucky to know you and have you in our midst. Many, many thanks and good wishes. If you look at sort of my standard of what I think an excellent person would be doing right now in this environment, I find that I have extraordinary opportunity for improvement. And it reminds me that when we go through a period like the one we're in now, it is absolutely essential to help each other to be excellent. No one can be excellent alone. We really need to help each other. It's going to be that shared intelligence. So I really appreciate your support and your good wishes. You know, and I also appreciate all the efforts of rich feedback that helped me and the Solari team be more excellent. Then a question from somebody in France on whether or not I can be of assistance to them in putting together a plan. I'm not sure, so let me do a separate email and think about that. Hi, Catherine. I can't thank you enough for your work and sacrifice for all of us. I'll be moving to Tennessee soon and spreading the message and doing my part to help build communities of the future. My question is, how do you define spiritual maturity and what is involved with growing up spiritually? What I would do is I would recommend you listen to, I did two Solari reports on spiritual warfare, and then one with Rappaport called The Power of It. Two other books that I would strongly recommend for spiritual maturity are The Road Less Traveled by Scott Peck and The People of the Lie by Scott Peck. The People of the Lie is Peck's book on dealing with evil, and where I find most people fall down and sort of being spiritually mature is on handling the actual presence of evil in our lives. Now, I think your question is an exceptionally good one, and to give you the kind of answer you deserve would take a whole nother Solari report. And since I just finally got the question answered, why I'm an optimist, I'm going to add spiritual maturity to my list. But in the meantime, check out those Solari reports. And if you haven't read Scott Peck, I would encourage you to read those. Needless to say, there's enormous amount of information and wisdom in the Bible, particularly in Ephesians, in Romans, in the story and saying, you know, sort of the teachings of Jesus, and also in Proverbs. And I strongly recommend Tim Keller's Divine Wisdom and his preaching on Proverbs. So the next question is not really a question, it's a comment on followers of QAnon. And I just had to put it in because this phenomena just boggles my mind. And the subscriber says, the COVIDians are far more scary than the COVID idiots. One of his comments is, a neighborhood friend is a big QAnon follower. She gave us this big propaganda picture book about how Q is saving the Republic, where it has large, meaningless rhetoric plastered over inspirational American-centric imagery, while she was trying to explain how the chemtrails are only just for anti-missile defense systems. And we responded, yes, and those vaccines just immunize you from Chinese propaganda, to which my response was unbelievable. I will say this, a lot of really good people got caught up in the Q phenomena, and, you know, and I feel badly because I know how much time and resources they have lost to this, some of them. So it's a very painful experience when you've been rolled like that. You know, the worst thing, hardest thing in the world to do is look in the mirror and say, I'm the patsy. We've all had to do it, and it's brutal. So if you have an opportunity to help somebody recover from the Q cult, you know, I hope you will reach out and do it. Because there are a lot of good people. Happy Sunday, Catherine. You've talked about how the vaccine military and central banking interests are attempting to sneak up on the herd without spooking them, avoiding a connect-the-dots stampede in the general population. Absolutely. With the military already tasked with distribution, as well as talks about debt relief or free money for getting vaccinated, as well as the looming everything bubble, it is increasingly harder to keep the herd asleep. Furthermore, a General Flynn source, along with other Qvidians and pro-military people, are openly floating, invoking martial law in regards to writing the election. I really made an effort to tweet out and communicate that this was arguably the most frightening idea I'd ever heard. It was essentially, if you allow the Trump to invoke the Insurrection Act, that means that the deep state can seize the mechanism and use the suspension of the Constitution to round up the guns, confiscate property, you know, put whoever they want in prison, and force vaccinations on everybody. And you're doing that just when the vaccinations are being delivered to the military, and through Operation Warp Speed, the military has the resources to do it. You've got to be crazy. First of all, that scenario will never get you to affirm a second term for the Republicans in the White House. You know, all you'll do is persuade 70 million people that you're not competent to govern. That's number one. But number two, if you think the guys at Goldman Sachs are going to sit by and miss that opportunity to round up all the guns so that they can steal all the real estate, you know. You know, Trump's no more going to maintain control in that circumstance. What you've done is you've given a window to the deep state, and they're going to drive a truck through it. And the fact that Flynn would even suggest that tells me that the establishment was right. He was far too much of a ding-dong to be allowed to be national security advisor. He was going to get us killed. That's what they always said. That's what they got rid of, and that's why they got rid of him. And it's certainly making it look like that's the case. Someone sent in the following comment: I started listening to books, nonfiction for the most part, on cassette tapes 40 years ago because I could not stand the news. Very good choice. I found something of interest on talk radio, the commercials. My area of interest, intense interest, has been medicine and biotech. So when this COVID thing came along, I would just point out, you're the one who can help me find the right experts. You know, books and experts to have about gene editing. So when this COVID thing came along, I was suspicious from the beginning. I live in Minnesota, where there are few Solari subscribers, and I now have, for the fifth year, been able to listen in the car wherever I go. Thank you, Catherine, for being my greatest source of nonfiction. I've lost all my family and friends to the COVID narrative, all of them. So at this time, boy, do I need a pep talk. It turns out I have a fantastic subscriber, one of my favorite subscribers, within driving distance of you. So I've arranged an introduction, and hopefully, you know, that's happened twice this week that I could put two people together. So, you know, from a mustard seed, let's hope that helps. You're not alone. Hi, Catherine. Saw your interview with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He's so smart and courageous about vaccines, toxins, and tyranny, but blind to the green mask. He is happy Kerry is being appointed to climate czar, really misses the boat on this. Naomi Wolf, another smart liberal who sees tyranny of lockdowns, but again, can't see Kerry. Now, it's funny, because Kerry's done a lot in his career to earn respect. He married, after Senator Heinz was killed, he married Senator Heinz's wife, and so he's helping to manage the Heinz fortune, which is significant. So, one of the funniest things all week long, we have James Quaid, who's written the wonderful pieces on the and done all the work on the maps, and who's an editor for News Trends and Stories during the week. Remarkable person. When I brought up this issue, he says, oh, well, why not appoint as a climate czar somebody who's got the carbon footprint of a Panzer division? You know, and this goes back to C.J. Hopkins saying, it's even better if your official narrative that you require the cult to adopt is seemingly incoherent, absurd. You know, the more absurd it is, the more power it has for the, you know, cult puppy training. Anyway, but Carrie really does. If you look at the cars, the yachts, his wife owns a personal plane charter service. He flies around in private planes. So this guy is going to tell us, you know, that we ought to cut back on our energy use. you can't make this up, you know. So I think we're going to have 4 years of fun at Gary's expense. And, you know, I don't disagree with you at all, because you've got a lot of great people. And I think Kennedy and Wolf are two of them. I don't know much about Kennedy's views on climate change, and I need to dive into that. But unfortunately, they've been sold a bill of goods, and they don't see, or many people don't see it yet, and they're struggling with it. You're watching Wolf struggle with the New Green Deal. You know, she's really coming. It was funny when I interviewed Hopkins, because Hopkins was a Bernie Sanders guy. But I think all doesn't cut between right and left. This cuts between fact-based and mind-controlled. And it's hard. It's hard to face the fact that you have bought into an analysis of some aspect of this world, and that analysis had significant material emissions, and you really don't understand the world, and you've been fooled. You know, you had faulty intelligence. Ask any general about what happens when you have faulty intelligence. That's why I'm such a nut about the material emission issue. Hello, Catherine. Thank you again for the intel you provide us. I have elderly parents who rely heavily on fixed income from an annuity, CalSTRS, pension, and Social Security. So a couple comments on this. I won't read the whole thing. One is an annuity from an insurance company with a very, very good credit rating. Coming out of annuities can be expensive or tricky or difficult, so I wouldn't do it without real expert help and advice. But what you want to make sure is your insurance company has an excellent rating. So an annuity and certain kinds of insurance companies will protect you during a deflationary scenario, which is one possibility. You're not going to do anywhere near as well in an inflationary environment. But then I don't know how elderly your parents are. I just don't have enough information to tell you anything other than make sure you have an excellent credit rating on your insurance company. It's an annuity from a company that's financially weak is totally different than annuity with good credit. The second thing is, and I wish, you know, if you look at COVID-19, you cannot underestimate the lengths the establishment will go to protect the insurance industry. The other thing you need is you need an excellent bank. So if you have cash and you have cash sitting in the bank, you just need to make sure, again, an excellent credit rating on your bank. So I would focus not on should you be in an annuity or cash, but do those two things. Is your custodian an excellent credit rating? Then the other thing you need is income generating options, and that's going to require real estate or equities. And to do that, although there's selected local opportunities, but I think you want to keep it simple. So it's going to be real estate or equities. And for that, you're going to need a good professional in one or both of those areas. And you may be interested in what we have to say during the equity overview, which we'll do in January. Catherine, so the shortages are back, but why? The farmers say they have so much crop, they have to bury it or burn it because it isn't selling. The food processors say they can't get enough trucking to bring the food in, while the trucking industry says there's no demand for trucking, all of which converts to no food at the supermarket. Somebody very big is playing games with the food supply. The bottleneck is between the farms and the processing companies. The bottleneck is not either the farmers or the processing companies. Some middleman is screwing around. The middleman needs to be identified, personally intercepted, and be dealt with in a way that prevents future interruption of the food supply. I think anything we can do to bring transparency to what's going on, you know, every time I get another case study or example, it helps me do that. Then you say, we all know that the middleman is Mr. Global, the very same you know what, we're fighting for our country. It pays for him to keep us scared and on the edge of hunger. I've been very concerned that the effort to shut down the independent restaurants is to get control of the food supply. looking at the latest information I've read on the rise in food prices, it also may be to try and stop inflation from rolling into the food prices. So shutting down all the restaurants is, you know, very deflationary for demand for food. But there's no doubt the games going on in the food industry are absolutely frightening. And that's why, if I can beat a drum again, please line up your local food sources now. Okay, Catherine, somebody writing about getting off of Gmail. Yes, please. Stay away from Google and Facebook, please. Good, you signed up for raw milk herd share. Good, good, good. And you asked about desktops or your laptop. So I checked with our team and they would say he should load Ubuntu desktop on his laptop. Ask that, get a new Apple laptop. Be sure and stay away from all Microsoft products. I agree. But I think laptop is far from perfect. So any people very familiar with laptop hardware, your suggestions on what could be the cleanest form of laptop. Once we saw all the problems with the Intel chips, you know, it made it much more difficult. Question, Catherine, have you ever heard of a remote viewer like Ingo Swann ever journeyed to underground bases? I've read a lot of Ingo Swann's work, and I don't remember what he said about underground bases. The person who would know, Richard Dolan's wife, Tracy, is a remote viewer, and she would be the best person. So you might, if you're a member of Dolan's forum, you might want to ask a question there. I see both Steve Nicks and Bob Dylan have sold their catalogs recently. Any insight on why they would, as it seems over the last 2 years, other recording artists have sold their catalogs or parts of them? I saw this story about Dylan selling his catalog, and it surprised me. There could be several reasons, the two biggest ones being he wants to sell them now and get them under professional management and properly organized and transferred, and doesn't feel that his family are the best people to do that after his death. So by doing it now and being available to work with it, he can get it all sort of professionally handled and then get the money transferred into a way that he feels it's proper for his estate. So it could just be a desire to exercise good estate management, not leave things up to the heirs. So that's one reason. The other reason, which is absolutely possible, is tremendous pressure from the entertainment industry to sell that now. They desperately need product and they need income. COVID-19 has made life worse and technology is making things worse and they're hungry for product. And I've literally seen situations where I believe artists have been killed if they wouldn't do this or because their catalogs were worth a lot more with them dead rather than alive. So to me, there are two reasonable possibilities, and I have no idea which one it is. Dylan has been somebody who throughout his career has sort of played ball. You know, he shut down a lot of the piece music early on when it was clear it was offending the military-industrial complex. So I have no idea which one it is. Health. My wife's grandmother spent the last 9 months or so in a care facility. This was one that came in before last week, but I wanted to make sure people heard it. My wife's grandmother spent the last 9 months or so in a care facility while a home was purchased suitable to bring her home. She struggled with Alzheimer's for the last 7 years. She was doing well and beginning to thrive amid new social contract, then lockdowns and only being able to see her through her room window, if at all. Last prep was completed for living accommodations and care, and my mother and father-in-law brought her home. She stepped out of there with no coat, dehydrated, emaciated, and died 10 days later. Her funeral, no viewing allowed, no more than 25 in attendance, is this coming Tuesday. I agree very strongly that this is targeted. I'm absolutely convinced that care facilities and nursing homes, there is something happening which is not natural. And I think these folks are being targeted, and it's exceptionally dangerous. Catherine, good evening, good morning in Europe. I wish all is well and continue to appreciate all you do and make available to your subscribers. So you have a new son, born on October 21st. Oh, congratulations. That is wonderful. Simon Peter, great name. then you go into what has happened to Dr. Paul Thomas, who's a marvelous pediatrician. He was featured briefly in Vax 2. He's absolutely a wonderful, wonderful doctor. I put your whole note in here, and I have gone to the link to support him in Soleri. I've asked our bookkeeper to donate, and I would encourage other people to donate. Dr. Paul is just a marvelous, marvelous person. Anyway, those links are in the notes. Thank you for sending that. Local gathering. This was a question that came in today, and I wanted to read it so you knew what our answer was. I've got an interesting situation developing with respect to my get-together for the Soleri subscribers. I've selected a nice public park environment for the meeting, but we're now getting the noose tightened around our necks by the governor here in California, and we're all being told to not leave home unless it is absolutely necessary. The park that I've chosen does not have any gates locking it up, and today I'm noticing they're beginning to do this with the other parks in the area, and I'm guessing they will all be locked up by the weekend. So if I host the event, there is the possibility that someone could call the police to break us up or not. I'm thinking that I should mention this to all six of the other people who have told me that they want to attend, and let them decide individually what they want to do. So in doing this, I may have anywhere from 0 to 6 other people who still want to meet with me, and I wanted to ask your opinion about this. Please let me know. So here's what I wrote. I can advise you on what to do. What I would do in such a situation would be to read the state-issued guidance carefully and talk to an attorney about related laws and regulations so that I could get intellectual mastery of what the law said. I would also read what the local sheriffs in that jurisdiction advised regarding enforcement. So we've just had the sheriff in Riverside, and apparently Orange County's come out and say they're not enforcing any of the governor's stuff. So if that's true, it's a very different kettle of fish in your county than if you're, you know, so if you're in Orange and Riverside, you're in a different situation than if you're in another one. So let me continue. I would share all that information with the six people so they can assess an informed, a shared intellectual mastery. What each person does requires them to take individual responsibility. Then I would pray on it. Each person, each place is unique, and the most intelligent pathway requires a deep understanding of the details, particularly regarding law and regulations, and I would say enforcement. Hope that helps, Catherine. So we're all going to have to become experts in our local law, regulation, and enforcement policies. And this is why you're going to, if you don't know it yet, you're going to learn very quickly. You need to know who your sheriff is. And you need a good sheriff and a way to communicate with your sheriff and sheriff office. If they have community policing meetings or other opportunities to get to know them, you absolutely want to do that. Then we got a lot of recommended links this week, and I've put some of them in the notes, but there's a lot more. And you've all been responding and helping each other out with ideas. One of the links I put in is more information on Starlink, which is the Elon Musk satellite system that we'd all like to know more about, what it's really up to. Someone sent in a link for the Swiss National Bank CBDC. I really appreciate that. I'm intending to spend a lot more time looking at the crypt in 2021 because this will be the year that the central banks start to do their crypts. Okay, the next piece. Wonderful subscriber sent in an article from McCullough, which continues to do a fantastic job of covering what's going on with COVID-19. They're one of the websites we recommend in the injection fraud wrap-up. Let me just read this. British and American intelligence agencies are collaborating to eliminate anti-vaccine propaganda from public discussion using sophisticated cyber warfare tools. According to the chief executive of the Center for Countering Digital Hate, anti-vaxxers are an extremist group that pose a national security risk because once someone has been exposed to one type of conspiracy, it easily leads down a path where they embrace more radical worldviews that can lead to violent extremism. Basically, there's inside the cult and outside the cult. We're trying to make sure that as few people as possible can leave the cult. In September, the U.S. Department of Justice seized 92 online domains suspected of belonging to Iraqi government-backed militia. Seizures were done in collaboration with the FBI, Google, Facebook, and Twitter. They all seem to be part of the same club, right? In November, the DOJ seized 27 online domains, including the American Herald, suspected of being founded by Iranian interests, among the websites cited by the Center for Countering Digital Hate as promoting extremism that poses a national security risk to the UK. Are you ready for this? Ricola, Children's Health Defense, the Informed Consent Action Network, the Organic Consumers Association, and the National Vaccine Information Center. It's just, you just can't make this stuff up. I've been warning you about the seeming inevitability of mandatory COVID-19 vaccinations for several months now, and have discussed the ever-tightening grip of media and online censorship. As an independent source of news, Mercola.com has been in the crosshairs of globalist interests for years, and the attacks are intensifying with each passing day. I think Mercola is somebody to be supported. It does an excellent job. Hello, Catherine. Thanks for your answer regarding my question for John's novel. I'm also happy to have found someone else who's totally into John's work and even produced some material with him I wasn't aware of. If you go back into our library, there are unbelievable numbers of recordings with John. We've been doing major recording at one point where we're doing one a month, so there's a ton back in the library, so make sure you go in and dive into the archives. I wrote a book that's heavily influenced by John's philosophy, imagination, and tries to grab its essence. I'm still in the working phase. If you're interested in giving it a quick look and some feedback, I'd be very happy. I'll attach it for you. I will take a look with interest. Okay, no questions in shadow work or take action. That's it for this week on Ask Catherine. I'll be talking to you shortly on money and markets. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.